Complete renovation can be very similar to a rebuild in the sense that they only leave the foundation and a couple of the supporting walls and everything else is brand new. That officially qualifies as a renovation legally, so you don't need to get permits to rebuild, but then you can do whatever you want, basically. So if anything like that was done, which is rare, then you wouldn't need another one for like a good 30 years. But that's very rare that anybody will sell a house that's in such pristine condition that it was fully renovated at this budget that you're talking about. Usually, if anybody does anything like that, that's for them to keep using the house, not for sale. Yeah. The renovations you'll normally see on the market are cosmetic and interior. So they might completely renovate the interior with everything looks new and modern, mm-hmm. new bathroom, new kitchen. I mean, not necessarily to the best quality because they're still looking to make a profit on the sale, but at least it'll be, you know, it'll hold for a good 5, 6, 7 years on the interior front.
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over 2 decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options.
All right, so for today's episode, 2 back-to-back conversations, again, both with new clients who are looking for investment properties in Japan. In this first shorter call, we talk about the difference between buying at the bottom end of the market, say 5 million yen, versus going for a bit of a higher budget of say 10 million yen, and why it might be better to aim for younger, pricier properties if your budget allows for it. Have a listen, and we'll then get right into the second call.
So I browsed through your original email, which mentioned a budget of 75,000 US, but then on a subsequent email, you wrote budget of 5 million yen, which is less than half of that. So yeah. You want to run me through the background again?
So I was looking at a budget of 70,000, and I figured I would get a place that's relatively nice off, not a lot of refurbishing necessary to begin with. But then I figured I kind of want to use my hands. I want to work. So I lowered the budget. I found some places that looked decent. I figured I could try to make 5 million stretch out a bit. Additionally, the 7 million was pushing a loan budget that I was hoping for that I probably couldn't get in the end. So this is somewhere where I wanted to start, see what is available, and try to make work. I mean, obviously, saving a little bit of money is always nice.
Yeah, well, but 70,000 US is not really 7 million yen at the moment. It's more like, what is it? It's more like 10.2 million yen.
Yep.
So 5 million yen will usually, depending on location, but usually will buy you a house that's not in good condition. But the issue is not what you can DIY or not. The issue is whether it's going to have structural problems that is not something that you'd be able to DIY.
Right.
So tilting, sinking, floors, termite tracks, roof water leak issues, these are all items that I'm assuming would be a lot more challenging to DIY fix, right? Some of them are just not worth fixing. It might be a better idea to rebuild the property if those issues occur. So I mean, we could find diamonds in the rough, but in most cases, if you're buying anything this cheap, you'd probably, let's say anything that you buy that's older than 30 years old, you probably want to do a structural inspection in any case before signing anything.
Sure.
And the structural inspections, each of those costs somewhere between 100 to 150,000 yen. So let's call it 1,000 US or a bit less. If you look at very cheap houses, you're going to find that many of them will fall through during the structural inspection. So it's a question of how many of those inspections do you actually want to pay for? Because that'll eat into your budget significantly if you're looking at 10 properties and each of them falls through, right?
Right.
So if we open, for example, let me share my screen. I'll open that that first link, which you said was your favorite. Give me a sec. This one, right? Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let me just, because my kanji skills are not amazing, and also for anyone looking who may not be. So this one is the north end of Kobe City, which is quite rural. It's built 1981. So it's what, 47 years old, getting close to 50?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure why this says 42. It's closer to 50, I think. Right. Sorry, 40, 42, 43. And then there's not really a lot of information on this particular listing. Just have a quick look at the photos. Okay, it's built on a retaining wall, which is going to be your responsibility to maintain. And if and when that needs to be rebuilt, that's 10 million yen. I mean, including the re-strengthening of the earth within it and so forth, that could be about 10 million yen to rebuild if and when it goes. Is that it? Really? I thought there was more photos. Okay. So yeah, again, you're purchasing something over 40 years old. As long as you're okay with running structural inspections until you find the one that actually doesn't have major issues, then that's okay. I'm just conscious of your budget. That's all. Because if you end up forking 1,000 US on each potential property and it takes you 10, 15, that's another 10, 15,000 bucks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a viewing is one thing. So you can go to a viewing, you can see that there's no immediate smell of mold or signs of water leak or cracks around the foundation outside, which would maybe be a good indicator to then proceed and make an offer. And the offer we would condition on a structural inspection. But again, I would highly recommend to do that structural inspection, because cosmetic and interior renovations are one thing, but you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be fixing the foundation yourself, right?
Yeah, I'll absolutely do the structural inspection for a place like this before moving in. I understand that older
places have a lot of problems. It's not before moving in. It's before signing and paying the deposit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if that falls through, you had a list of 20 something properties.
Those were all just kind of to get an idea of what I'm looking for. Those are the only places that really stood out. I wanted to provide a list more than just words, something to look at, something to maybe talk about. These places,
and I'm seeing that they're all around the same. They're all around the same budget, right?
Yeah, that's where I wanted to look at starting.
Okay, I mean, I think, again, they're all pretty likely to have some major structural issues. So as long as you're okay with a lot of trial and error and a lot of payments for inspections, but we're fine to help you with whatever you want. I just want you to be aware that it might be a better idea to aim for a slightly higher budget. That's all.
Right.
Something which will have more likelihood.
Looking at.
Sorry?
These places I wasn't planning on like viewing or going in and even purchasing. These were just places that kind of caught my attention. The one place that I wanted to look at, the first listing, the first link, is the only one that has firmly caught my attention, is something that I want to view seriously.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just opening those links.
Yeah, quite a lot.
Give me a second. So some of them are super cheap, but the priciest one I saw so far was the first one, the 5.8, right? The rest of them seem to be cheaper. Oh, one of them's already gone. Let me just see if there's anything in there. There's a lot of them, again, that are on retaining walls, which is something to consider, because that can cost a lot if you have to reconstruct. And at some point in the property's lifetime, you will have to reconstruct it or at least re-strengthen it.
Sure.
Okay, one of them is 6.9, but that was built 1970, so even older. Okay, I mean, look, so we're not, you've read through our explanation of services document, you have a rough idea of how we work, et cetera, right?
Right.
So we're just, I'll caveat all of that to say that at the moment, because we're inundated and just have a senior staff member leaving us, we're not going to be able to handle full facilitation for the next few months. But what I'm happy to do is I can put you in touch with a foreigner-friendly agent who's based in Tokyo. She's a realtor, and realtors by nature are more transaction oriented. So like the kind of conversation that we just had about, you know, what we'd recommend and things to look out for, they're not necessarily going to have with you. They're more in point them at a property and they'll help you purchase it kind of thing. So you're welcome to bring us on as consultants, which is a lot cheaper too. It's a few $100 as opposed to a few $1,000. And then we'll hold your and her hand along the way, guide you in what questions to ask, pipe in with feedback, review documents before you sign them, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So are you on WhatsApp or Messenger or Line or any of those?
Yeah, I'm on WhatsApp. Don't have Line. I've got WhatsApp and WeChat. Yeah,
no, WhatsApp is great. And how long are you in Japan for on this visit?
I'm going to the UK next month, early April, sometime around like the 7th or 10th, and then I'll be back about 2 weeks later for a couple months. With a 2 week break, I'm in Japan for about 3 months.
Okay, so you're now here for the next 2-3 weeks, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so that should be sufficient time for her to organize a viewing for you on that property at least.
Awesome.
I wouldn't hit an agent with 20 properties off the bat, maybe like 3 or 4 to start with. It's not to scare them off. Mm-hmm. And I'll create the WhatsApp chat group and we'll kick off the conversation with her, see how quickly she can get you in there to view it.
Awesome.
And if you could reply to our last email correspondence with just a name and address to put on the invoice, if you do want us as consultants, and I'll send the invoice for you for the 10-hour retainer your way.
Okay.
All right. Great. Awesome.
All right.
Great talking to you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in web solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company Innovatius is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top of the list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing per project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $297 per month. Period. And if that's not enough, if you mention that you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you wish, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time consuming, right? That's exactly where Novatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob at robert@innovatius.com. That's INNOVACIOUS.com. And his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to lift your website's appeal and visitor numbers, and provide you with an easy-to-read, detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today. Okay, so for the second conversation, this one's with a couple from New Zealand who are planning to purchase a single family home as an investment property, since they are planning to actually move into it once they relocate to Japan. So we discuss whether it makes sense to buy a house and rent it out until then, as opposed to buying something like a condo unit and then potentially reselling it and then buying a house once they've actually moved. What are the differences in expenses and maintenance between houses and condos? What kinds of tenants would you put in both property profiles? And are they going to be long, medium, or short-term rentals? We also talk about the difference in using our services for full purchase facilitation versus consulting, and how both of these options work as far as structural inspections, renovations, repair works are considered. What does it mean if a property is not rebuildable? What are the consequences of purchasing such a property? How fast is the purchase process in Japan, and how does that pace differ here as opposed to other countries? We also talk about property viewings, how these work and how we can assist, and then about what happens after settlement. So how can our clients manage their properties remotely? What taxes and other payments are due annually? What sort of maintenance and repairs are required on a regular basis? And a whole lot more. So very chunky conversation, plenty of information nuggets for you to extract there. Hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you again one last time on the other side.
Yep, go for it. So how can I help?
Awesome. So where are we going to start? I think, yeah, most of our questions already been answered
by the previous podcast.
From your previous podcasts.
Okay. Yeah,
we just want to introduce, maybe we just want to introduce ourselves first.
Sure.
So I'm Jordan. This is my wife, Jules, and we are based in New Zealand. And we are looking to buy a property in Japan.
New Zealand's a big place. Where in New Zealand?
Auckland.
In Auckland. Cool. Okay.
In Auckland. Yeah. Yes.
Best chocolate in Asia Pacific, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
Thank you. Yeah.
Which one? Whitaker's?
I don't know. I just remember I've only been there a couple of times when I was waiting for my Australian visa to be approved. I had to leave the country and I just gorged myself on chocolate in cafes and shops. And it was amazing.
Yeah. Cool.
I think it's the Whitaker's one.
Yeah. So we visited Japan last year for a month.
Yep.
And really enjoyed it. We loved it. And after that, when we got back here, we've already started searching and trying to have a little bit more information when it comes to buying property in Japan. And now I think we are getting closer to
making
it a reality.
Yep.
So that's the time when we bumped into your podcast.
It seems like every time that we have a chance, we just like keep on like listening to all your podcasts.
Stop.
It, like, really, no, like this is like really like honestly, like every single time, like when we are going for like especially like long drives, we just like try to like go through like all the thing. It's like really
that is
amazing.
Very flattering. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Really informative.
Okay, so why are you sending me old wooden houses instead? Like, are you looking for investment, right? So why are we looking at houses?
So we kind of a little bit bordering in between what do you call it,
like, not really, we're looking at an investment,
but longevity. That's why we want to buy a house, because if we don't want to have rent it out anymore, at least we already have it. We already have a house in Japan, if that makes sense.
It does, but it's kind of a hybrid. So to get the best kind of investment is probably not the house you would have bought to live in, and vice versa. To get the ideal house to live in is probably not going to make a very good investment. So What's the time frame? When do you think you might want to switch over from renting it out to living in it?
It's still far, to be honest,
like,
with
probably
you.
Like,
and we're not gonna, we're not in the talks of like us living in Japan for good. We would say we're gonna stay in Japan a little bit longer than like more than a month.
Yeah.
Let's say
maximize like the 3 months.
The
visa,
3 months
probably.
Or maybe the six,
yeah.
Even the 6 months. But living in Japan, we're not in the talks of that at the moment.
Okay. But and then yeah. And that for you to enjoy staying here, it has to be a house. It can be a condo unit.
Yes. So okay. Yeah, that's the
prefer,
goal. We still prefer to buy a house rather than a condo unit.
Okay, well, that's doable then, but then a few things come into play. Firstly, we have customers who have holiday homes here, and when they're not using it, they're trying to rent it out by the month or short-term Airbnb and stuff. But that's a very seasonal fluctuating market. So it could be good, it could be bad, depending on where you're going to end up buying, which obviously depends on your budget and preferences. But might not be that many potential guests, might not be licensed management companies. So people who want to invest and maximize profits from a house and they're not thinking specifically about staying in it themselves, then they buy in a location which would be attractive and is easily manageable. And then if and when the property is vacant, then they can come and use it. Or vice versa, people who buy like the perfect holiday home somewhere in the sticks or the suburbs and within a smaller budget, then, you know, they do the best they can when they're not here and maybe rent it out to cover costs, but it's not like the perfect investment. So what was your budget and what locations did you have in mind? Let's start there.
So I think I've already sent you some links before. So around that ballpark. So I have IKEA Mart open here at the moment, and so terms, yes. So we're actually looking around 70 to 80. That's AUD.
Yep.
For like the property itself.
Yep.
For the property itself.
And I'm seeing one in Kanagawa Prefecture, but smaller town. One in Osaka Prefecture, but also smaller. Oh, Higashi Osaka. It's kind of close to Osaka.
Yes, our priority is within Osaka.
Yeah.
If we can find like in Osaka.
Yeah. Well, 7-8 million. Sorry, 70-80 Australian, which is about 7-8 million yen at the moment. It's not going to buy you a very good location in Osaka, and definitely not a very young house.
Yeah. So and we're then, looking around like minimum of 1980s and above.
Yeah.
Or is it quite tight, you think?
I mean, yeah, like the last link that you sent to me is Higashi Osaka. It's not really officially within Osaka, but it's kind of close. You could maybe call it suburban, even though it's officially a different city.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you might be able to swing. I don't know how popular that would be with short-term stay guests then. So again, it becomes a case of maybe you can get a bit of money when you're not using it, but not much beyond that.
Yes. So at the moment, we prefer long-term tenants.
But then that's challenging. If and when you want to use the property, you're obviously not going to just kick them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So and what's the plan there? To wait until they leave naturally and then start using the place? Or, I mean, you'll have to, it might not be timed exactly at the right time when you want to use it, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think what's going to happen is that by the time that we purchase the property, we will rent it out like long term.
Yeah.
And then since if ever that we will go to Japan anyway, we can just like Airbnb or like book a hotel while we're there. But regarding like the property itself, I think we're looking at doing our plan of like going and staying in Japan for like 3 months to 6 months, not until like, let's say, like 10 years from now.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Okay.
It's just that we really wanted to like secure like a
we
property
want to secure this.
If we're talking about 10 years from now, why just not buy a proper investment property like a condo in a more central location, and then when the time comes, then sell it and buy something new? Hopefully it might even, you know, hold its price or maybe slightly gain if it's central Osaka, and then recycle. I mean, I'm just concerned about how much money you're actually going to be making from an old house which is very far from Osaka Central. I mean, you could rent it out, but I don't know, 4-5%, plus you'll have constant maintenance and renovation and repair costs because it's going to be an old house, right?
Yeah.
They're not really built to last here like they are in New Zealand and other countries. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So if you're buying something that's already like 40 years old, you're looking at like between $2,000 to $4,000 a year just in annual maintenance and repairs, even if everything is okay. So when you buy it, you'll do a structural inspection to make sure there's no major issues, termite tracks, tilting, sinking, roof problems, that kind of thing. And then even if all of that is okay, which is kind of rare for these older properties, then you're looking at somewhere between $2,000 to $4,000 a year, just on average. I mean, it'll be okay for 5-6 years, but then the roof goes for 20,000 or whatever the case may be. So average between $2,000 to $4,000 a year in annual maintenance, which kind of eats very significantly into your rental income, because long-term leases are not that profitable, right? They're, I mean, even with a condo unit in Osaka, it will be, let's say, 4 to maybe 6% if it's kind of suburban before tax. With the house, it'll be similar, maybe a little bit higher, but maintenance and repairs will fluctuate a lot more than with condo units. So anyone's guess how profitable that might be? I mean, but both options are totally valid. Just with a house, you're going to be fluctuating a lot more than with a condo unit. With a condo unit, it's kind of like safe and stable. You pay your monthly building fees, but you know that you don't need to pay anything else, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll keep that in mind, since you already, like, I think this has been like always been the topic anyway with your podcast. Like, you always like encourage people to
go
with the condo unit if it's an investment property, which we really appreciate.
Unless you're going to be hands-on, like if you're the types who are living nearby and you've got the local connections to fix stuff on the cheap and you're happy DIYing stuff yourself between tenants, that's a different story. If you're looking for something that's remotely manageable without too many surprises, then I'd say a condo unit makes more sense.
Yeah. Okay. Even though it's a newly renovated house, something like that.
Newly renovated exterior and interior, I would consider. But if it's only cosmetic stuff on the interior, I don't know. Like, interior renovations are actually a lot more quantifiable, and we can wrap our heads around what needs to be done when we look at them. But exterior and structural issues could be a lot less certain and a lot more fluctuating. And also the price, sky's the limit. Like, sometimes it's the price of the property again, just to fix stuff, right?
Like the same. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So next question would be, we know that you guys are based in Fukuoka, just want to confirm if you guys will still be able to assist us if we decide to buy a property, for example, in Osaka.
Yeah, we work nationwide because we're not realtors or property managers or renovation companies. We're like your proxy, and we work with all of these third parties all over Japan. So we don't really care where the property is. We just utilize the best team that we can find in each location. At the moment, depends on when you want to pull the plug, pull the trigger. At the moment, we are a bit swamped with new customers and moving office, and lost two staffers and recruiting, just like the perfect storm of not being able to help anyone with full facilitation at the moment. We'll probably be back in the saddle fully by July. But if you do want to pull the trigger before that, then I'm happy to put you in touch with a friendly, foreigner-friendly agent.
Okay.
They'll be able to handle the logistics of the purchase on your behalf.
Yeah.
So logistically, they'll do everything that we do. Like, the documents will be in English. They'll do everything remotely with Zoom and Notary Public. So the process would be similar, but they're not going to have the kind of conversation that we just had about strategy and what's best and maybe prioritize this one over. Like, they're realtors. You just point them at a property and they'll help you buy it, or research properties and tell you which one they can buy or not.
Mm.
And then I can come in for a few $100 just to hold your hand and make sure you're asking the right question, do the kind of things that we normally do, review documents before you sign them, that kind of thing, which is a lot cheaper than us doing full facilitation anyway.
All right.
So up to you. If you want to pull the trigger before, let's say, mid-July, then I'd go that way. Otherwise, if you're okay to wait until then we should be back in full facilitation mode by then.
Shouldn't be too far anyway. July, we're already like hitting May.
Yeah.
should be over the way it's ever.
I say July, but my my wife, who's my business partner, keeps pushing me back. It was June about a month ago. Not yet. We can't handle it yet. Hopefully it'll be July. But I mean, look, we can reevaluate once you're ready to move forward, and then I'll tell you for, you know, back in the saddle. And if not, we can still go the realtor route.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Are you still being in Fukuoka?
Oh, we're not moving out of here. I love this city. It's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
So yeah, just going back for that one, if ever that we really wanted to like purchase like house instead of like the condo unit, just because I think we're so fixated on like purchasing like house.
You're the boss.
And we will not hold you accountable. We know we've heard like from your previous podcast that the reason why you want the buyers to go for like condo units instead of properties because you don't want them to, you know, at the end of it all, they will realize that, oh my gosh, like I think we made like a bad decision, you know, based from what he advised us before that the
I'm not worried about being held accountable. I'm just making sure that you don't end up losing too much money and ending up with a lemon. That's all.
Yeah, that's really good. So if ever that we will go for like the house, we just wanted to know like if, for example, that one that we said, if it's recently renovated, by standard of Japan, how often does the renovation usually require or like recommended?
So a complete renovation can be very similar to a rebuild in the sense that they only leave the foundation and a couple of the supporting walls and everything else is brand new. That officially qualifies as an renovation legally, so you don't need to get permits to rebuild, but then you can do whatever you want, basically. So if anything like that was done, which is rare, then you wouldn't need another one for like a good 30 years. But that's very rare that anybody will sell a house that's in such pristine condition that it was fully renovated at this budget that you're talking about. Usually, if anybody does anything like that, that's for them to keep using the house, not for sale. Yeah. The renovations you'll normally see on the market are cosmetic and interior. So they might completely renovate the interior with everything looks new and modern, new bathroom, new kitchen. I mean, not necessarily to the best quality because they're still looking to make a profit on the sale, but at least it'll be, you know, it'll hold for a good 5, 6, 7 years on the interior front. The exterior and the structure are a bit trickier. So normally nobody would do, for example, complete new plumbing. They might replace some sections that had some issues or leaks. They'll give it a lick of paint. They'll do the roof. But they're not going to re-strengthen the foundation and fix any major issues. Like tilting and sinking usually results is usually a result of a bit of land liquefaction. So they're not going to repack the land, restructure the foundation. That kind of level of renovation is very rare.
So what does normally happen with those type of properties if we encounter something like that? Or
that costs a lot of money to, right, to do. So that's again when you get into territory of paying the price of the property again just to get it up to speed.
All right. When it comes to like building inspections, would that be
that'll be revealed, yes.
Right. Okay.
That'll come up in the inspection. Like if you think about it, even just the roof, which is the one component that we sometimes do see in resale properties, like they've completely redone the roof, even that is about 3 million yen to do on a typical family-sized home, right?
Yes.
So for them to do anything beyond that is very, very rare.
I'm so hungry. I want to get
something. Hello, how you going?
That's my daughter. yeah, so basically, I think we're very fixated buying a house in Japan.
Yep. No, I get that. I'm just wondering if you need it now, if you're only going to be using it in about 10 years. Why not buy it later?
Yes, we don't need it now. So we're thinking, yeah, so in the span of 10 years, that house will be tenanted. So we...
what I mean is, why not, like, if you want to invest for the next 10 years, why not invest in something a bit more stable? And then when it comes time to have a holiday home, then sell it and buy a house.
Because in 10 years, we don't know if we can still purchase a house. That's one more thing.
Like
at the moment, we have the budget to buy a...
Budget, you're never going to be buying in central Osaka. It's always going to be a little town on the outskirts. And prices have been going up slightly, but okay. Mm. I mean, again, you're the boss. We'll help you buy whatever you want.
Yes. So we don't mind like an hour train ride going to central Osaka.
Yep.
Maybe within that area.
That works for long-term leases for sure. Definitely not for short-term and monthly leases. Mm-hmm. We just want to make sure, I mean, a house comes with at least one parking space in those locations normally. So distance to the station is not a huge thing, but we do want it in an area that has at least stable, if not slightly growing population. So that'll just take a bit of searching.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, just to make sure that if and when a tenant moves out, you've got a new one to easily put in there, right?
Mm. Yep. What's next?
And then, just because we're looking at houses, how would we know if we started like looking for houses, like for example, in Akiya Mart or cheap houses? Is there like any specific description or word that we need to look if the house is rebuildable or not?
That's one more thing, yeah.
On the original Japanese listing, so on Akiya Mart, you have a link, and on Cheap Houses Japan's mailing list, you also usually have a link to the original Japanese listing. In some cases, it will note on the listing not rebuildable, but sometimes you won't know until you contact the agent, unfortunately.
Right. Okay. And if they say that it's non-rebuildable, does that mean that we can't demolish the house? Is that the right term?
You can demolish everything except the foundation and the supporting walls again. I mean, each local municipality has slightly different regulations, but it's always going to be at least the foundation and one supporting wall. And as long as you keep those intact, anything else you do to the property is considered a renovation, not a rebuild. But I mean, that the rebuild issue comes into play more in case of, for example, severe earthquakes, which have just, you know, the foundation's gone beyond repair, and then there's nothing you can do with that property except turn it into a parking lot, right? I mean, it's they're rare, but they do happen. That's usually, and also when you resell the property at any point down the track, banks will not lend for a non-rebuildable property, so you'll be limited to cash buyers.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. With saying that, yeah.
Otherwise, it's not. I mean, a lot of the older houses, because of modern zoning regulations, a lot of the older houses, especially as you get closer to city centers, A lot of them are not going to be rebuildable because just zoning regulations don't allow that land plot to have a house on it anymore.
So we need to check also
the zoning.
Yeah, it's not a major drawback. It doesn't reflect anything about the property itself. It's more a case of it was built in the, at a time where it was, you know, possible to build there, and now it's not.
All right. Yeah. So our next question would be, if we already found a property that we love and we want to put an offer to it, we really wanted to hopefully close the property while we're in Japan. Is it likely possible? How does that work?
Because you want to view it first by yourself? Is that the point?
Yeah.
In any case, the listing agent in the vast majority of cases is not going to be able to deal with foreigners directly. So in any case, you'll need either someone like us or an English-speaking realtor to submit the offer on your behalf.
Mm.
So it's more a case of you maybe making the decision to apply while you're here, and then as soon as we can, somebody will do it on your behalf. Whether you're here or not doesn't really matter at that point.
So how long does it normally take to, let's say we want something now, and we'll give you a timeline of, okay, we'll be in Japan within 6 to 8 weeks from today.
Is it doable?
Is that something doable?
Or that's
do
doable,
to,
yeah, but
do
I would
have to pay a deposit first?
No. So the deposits come a lot later. What happens here is, so first of all, the way it works with most of our customers, which sounds like it might be the case with you as well, is you give us notice. 6 to 8 weeks is good notice. Don't make it less than that. More than that, the properties might not be available by the time you get here. But 6 to 8 weeks is actually the perfect time frame. You let us know that much in advance, and you give us your final shortlist of properties. Either you find them yourselves or we help you find them, whatever the case may be. Then we'll organize a viewing tour for you. Because I'm assuming you're not fluent in Japanese, right?
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
So we'll need to either, depending on how open and modern or old school the agent is, we'll need to either have somebody join you, in which case we would have to charge for the trip costs. So that's separate to anything related to the purchase. We'll either have to have somebody join you physically, or we'll have to join you via Zoom if the agent's open to that.
Right.
Interpretation.
Yeah.
And it's a good idea to have them, to have someone there with you, at least virtually, just so that we can, you know, point the camera at the right locations and look for water leaks and cracks around the foundation, just stuff that would indicate whether we might want to skip that one altogether. So if we do go with you to Osaka, that's probably going to be, let's say, if we manage, depending on how many potentials you'll find, if it's like up to 5 or 6 of them, we can probably do them all on the one day.
Right.
Which will make it about a 60 to 70,000 yen trip to have us join you physically.
Yeah.
If we have more potentials, we have to stay overnight, then maybe add the hotel room and a few more hours of work to that. So maybe up to 100,000 yen.
Mm-hmm. Will that be you personally, or are you going to send someone?
If it's Osaka, it's probably going to be me personally, I would say, yeah.
Right. That's
at least until we, again, we're recruiting. So at least until the point in time we get to where I actually have somebody to send. But to be honest, the best staff that we can find to date are usually working moms, like moms who want to get back into the work environment. They're bilingual, they're super clever, and they appreciate the flexibility. So based in Fukuoka, that's the best kind of staffers we find, and they don't tend to be the types that we can send out on missions like that. So most likely going to be me for the next foreseeable future.
Okay.
All right.
So for like a day, we can view 5 to 6 properties, and then how long does it normally take to close the deal? Do you think it'll take like a week or something?
No. So we submit the offer within a day or two after you've given us permission to. Mm-hmm. And then because you're looking at older houses, we'd again recommend a structural inspection. Mm-hmm. So once the offer is accepted, it takes us a couple of weeks to get the inspection done and maybe another week to get the report. And then once we give them the go ahead, once we tell the seller that we're okay to go ahead, assuming the inspection didn't reveal anything too major, they'll start working on the purchase document drafts, which takes them another couple of weeks. We then review those, which takes us about a week, sign the contract, pay the deposit. That's when you pay the 10% deposit and the deal becomes legally binding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that deposit is not going to get back to you. It's not refundable if you change your minds later.
Mm-hmm. Is that like the unconditional something? I think that's what it is called here in New Zealand. Once you go unconditional.
I don't know. We just call it the purchase deposit. I'm not sure. Sorry. Right. And then about a month from then, just because you have to execute a couple of documents, notary public witnessed, and have them sent back here to Japan physically. So about a month from when the contract is signed is when settlement will happen. That's when you pay the rest and the property is under your name. So I'd say with the inspection, probably about 2.5 months, worst case, from the moment an offer is accepted.
2.5. Okay.
Yeah. Then utilities would take about up to a month to connect in most cases.
Right. So if we plan to stay there in Japan for a month and then we want to close the deal,
it's
impossible.
Not likely.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know, maybe a month and a half if we can get you a notary. An English-speaking notary public, they are available in Osaka. So if you can get you an appointment with one of those, maybe a month and a half. But the inspection kind of makes that a little bit longer. So I'd still be geared more towards 2 months rather than a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you're staying here for 3 months, then that's definitely doable.
Mm-hmm.
But you still might not have all utilities connected by the time you leave. So I'm not sure how livable the property would be at that time, but you can definitely furnish it and buy appliances and stuff like that.
Oh, that's good. So it means the property would be accessible already.
It's accessible from the day of settlement. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good to know.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the official documents, the new title deed and registration documents, also take about a month from settlement, which is when the Legal Affairs Bureau will send them to us. And then we'll scan them, everything except the title deed, for just for security reason, we'll scan and keep here as backup so we can manage the property on your behalf. Because I'm assuming you're not going to have residency, so contracts and stuff won't be under your name directly. I mean, utility contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, if that will be like too long for us to like stay in Japan, I think what will happen is we will start looking for properties while we're still here.
Mm.
And then if we have like already a short list, then we can give them to like view for us.
Yeah.
And then...
So viewing for us, do we need to pay for that? Obviously.
Yeah.
To do what?
To view a property for us.
If you want us to go there while you're not here, it's the same as us going there with you. Yeah, it's the same trip cost.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So same cost as well.
Yes. So our purchase facilitation fee covers everything related to the logistics of the purchase, as long as we don't have to leave the office. There's no limit on hours that we will work in that regard. Mm-hmm. But if we do need to go somewhere in person, either for a viewing or if the agent is old school and insists that we come and sign the contract in front of them, or pay them with a suitcase full of cash, which some of them still do, then we have to go in person, then that's a trip as well.
Because I think what will happen is that it's more doable for all of us to just like view property, have it shortlisted, send it to them, let the viewing done by them. And then for the closure of like the property and settlement, that's the time that we go there.
Yes. It'll save you on an international trip. I mean, us going there is cheaper than you coming here.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's what will happen. But
now here's some big news for anyone interested in Akiya, the abandoned vacant homes that are abundant all around Japan for very attractive purchase prices. Akiya Mart, our latest sponsor, is a recently founded online search and discovery tool for Japanese real estate. Its user interface will be very familiar to users of Zillow or Redfin. The platform essentially scouts the internet for property listings, translates them into English, and displays prices in US dollars, all in one place and with a dynamic map interface that makes browsing, finding, and shortlisting your favorite properties a piece of cake. Which any of you have been struggling with the dozens, if not hundreds, of Japanese property websites that are available online and their very clunky interface will probably find a real blessing. They've got already over 500,000 listings on the platform, and the database is expanding daily. Ranging from abandoned rural homes to luxury urban properties, Akiya Mart makes it easy to find your dream home in Japan, regardless of your budget. Now, while the platform is essentially free for use, Here's an exclusive offer for listeners of the podcast. You can use the promo code NTI to receive $5 off Akia Mart Pro. The subscription will unlock a bunch of very attractive features for you, including unrestricted access to the entire nationwide property database and a whole range of filters, which will help power charge your search for that elusive perfect home and make it even easier. So hop over to akia-mart.com. That's AKIYA-MART, akia-mart.com, and kick off your search today.
But talking about that, regarding like the payment, if we decided to like buy in cash, because I know that
you don't really have much of an option except cash. You don't think about a loan in Japan.
Yeah, because we can't like, and we don't really want to like loan anyway. I know that some people are like looking at that, but we wanted to like buy in cash. How are we gonna? How does it work for like your foreign buyers? Like, because I know that we're only allowed to like take like no more than like 1 million yen.
Oh, in cash, I didn't mean actual physical cash. In cash, meaning not with a loan. So you can remit funds to us. We're partnered with both OFX and Wise. Both of them offer very good rates. So whatever you do, don't let your bank convert your dollars into yen, because they'll always be at least 3 to 5 yen worse off to the dollar compared to the median rate. Right. So in the, if you're talking about 70,000-80,000 Australian, that's a good few thousand bucks that you're losing if you let your bank convert it for you. Mm-hmm. So you'll sign up with, for bigger transfers, I'd recommend OFX, because you get a dedicated account manager that you can always speak to. And Wise also allow up to, at the moment, they might change, but at the moment, they still allow up to only 1 million yen at a time. So it's like multiple transfers for a property purchase.
Okay.
And OFX, you send them your New Zealand dollars, they convert them and pay us yens at the other end at rates that are much better than the banks. So we will be receiving all of your funds in bulk and then distributing them domestically to the seller, the agent, the property lawyer, later down the track, the tax department for the purchase tax. And same for management. You'd be needing us. We'll always, because we're going to be signing up for auto deductions from our own bank accounts for utility bills and stuff, we'll always need about a year's worth of approximate costs in advance, and then we'll be paying bills on your behalf. And once a year, we'll give you a statement of expenses and we'll tell you when it's time to top it up.
Okay.
But I mean, if you're going to be renting it out, you're not going to, we can take that from the rental income. We're not going to need you to send money over that for management.
Okay. Because everything will be deducted anyway.
Before. Correct.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That explains it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So does that mean, how often do we have to pay like a council rate in Japan?
Once a year. I mean, you can pay it quarterly, but it's a lot easier to pay it just once a year. It's not that much for houses at this price level. You're talking about $200-$300 a year, usually maybe 400 most.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right then.
Just also bear in mind with the house, while you've got a tenant in there, they're probably taking care of things, but if it has a garden or a backyard and it's vacant, or you're going to be leaving it vacant for you to use, you'll want somebody to come in once a month or two to do some light vacuuming and airing, because humidity is a huge issue here and mold can really destroy your interior. Uh-huh. And depending on the setup and the size of the garden and backyard and how many trees and bushes are overhanging neighboring properties or public roads, you'll also need to factor in, I'd say, at least $100 a month for garden maintenance.
Okay.
A month. Right.
Usually, I mean, if it's a very small garden backyard or it's, you know, completely barren, then maybe not, but usually at least $50, and depending on the size and layout of the garden, it could be up to about 100.
Okay, 5100. Okay.
And the airing and cleaning, again, varies depending on how far the property is from a city center. Also, I'd say between $50 to $100 a month.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions?
I think that's everything we have for you, Ziv.
Okay.
Okay. And then we would just ask them to like send us like the list of like your rates for your like
services, yes, would that be possible?
We can go through it.
So did I send you our explanation of services document that kind of summarizes everything we've just discussed? I'll put it in our chat, in our Insta chat. Give me a second. Explanation of services. There we go.
Also, these prices that we see on IKEA Mart or cheap houses in
Yep.
Japan, would that be like still negotiable?
If it's a vacant property, I'd say politely you can try to negotiate up to about 10%. They're usually priced correctly in Japan. It's not really a negotiation haggling kind of culture.
Yeah.
But because it's a vacant house and it's pretty old and it might be a bit out of the way, then you can definitely try up to 10, maybe 15% wouldn't offend anyone too much. Beyond that, you run the risk of being ghosted because you're not going to be taken seriously. It's just not done here usually.
Okay.
So I've sent you the explanation of services, which explains all of the services that we can do for you. And now I'm also sending you the post-settlement checklist, which explains what we can do for you after settlement and how much everything costs.
Okay.
So just to summarize it for you while I've got you online, the purchase, if we're doing the full purchase facilitation, which again will probably happen around July, August, I'm saying, that would be at this price level, that would be a minimum. Our minimum is 5% of 10 million yen. So even though, because it's a house, if it's a condo unit, it's 5% of 5 million yen because it's a lot easier. But with a house, there's a lot more moving parts. So 5% of 10 million yen is 500,000 yen. That's going to be the minimum even at your budget. If you happen to buy something over 10 million yen, then it's just 5%. But in your case, you're looking at a lower budget. So our fee for facilitating everything at a fixed price is 500,000 yen.
Right.
And then anything else that we do down the track, whether for management, setting up utilities, renovation, repair projects, whatever you want us to do, we charge by the hour.
Okay.
And the hourly rate for somebody who's used us to purchase the property is about 3,000 yen. And for somebody who's purchased on their own is about 4,000 yen. So if you end up going the realtor route, for example, for whatever reason, you'll save on our purchase cost, but then our hourly fee would be a bit higher.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It's an error.
Thank you.
Yes, because yeah, hopefully we can still do that. Like we really want to settle things while we're in Japan.
Well, when are you here next?
Because our scenario at the moment is we are selling our house here in New Zealand.
Okay.
So once we sell the house, we're in the process.
Of moving.
We're in the process of moving to Australia as well.
Oh, we're in Australia.
We don't know yet. We're still gauging in between Queensland or
Queensland or
Melbourne.
Melbourne. We know
Okay.
that you're from Australia as well. Is that right?
I've lived on the Gold Coast and
Right.
North New South Wales, so the areas around between Byron Bay and the Gold Coast for about 10,
All
11
right.
years.
Wow. Yeah.
Beautiful country out there. But I don't know, you're from New Zealand, so you're used to the cold. Maybe Melbourne's all right. Melbourne's amazing as a city. If you are into nature
We're
and
both cold.
food, yeah. If you're
Yeah.
into nature and stuff, though, Queensland and North New South
Yeah.
Wales took the ticket, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're selling the house, and then what's the plan with, so
So
you're
we're
going to
selling
use
the house.
that property, you're going to use that money to buy a house in Australia, or?
So we're gonna, yeah, we're planning to buy a property in Japan, and then we're planning to buy a property in Australia. So we're gonna use our money to buy
Two
two
properties.
properties in different co countries.
Okay.
So basically, we're literally going to have a cash on hand once we
For the
just
Japan
for the
property.
Japan one.
And what's the timeline for that?
For Japan, we're hoping to have it like for this year.
Okay.
For Australia, if
For
we.
Australia, we're still gauging because rates are still skyrocket at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, well, by the end of the year, again, if it's within the next 2, 3 months, we'd probably better go the realtor route with me consulting you along the way. If we're gonna get started around maybe late July, August, then we can do full purchase facilitation. So maybe play it by ear, see when you sell the house, when the cash is available, and take it from there.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we really wanted to go through to your service, like all of it, all the aspects of it. So we might.
I'll be there either way. It's just a matter of whether we're doing everything for you and you just need to make bottom line decisions, or if you'll be a bit more involved and talk to the realtor on your own. That's the only difference. We'll be there holding your hand, whatever the case may be.
Awesome. So,
thank you.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's us.
Yeah. Good stuff. Looking forward to your updates.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
And pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Pleasure to meet you.
You too.
All right. Bye.
So yes, two nice little chats on the topic of property investment in Japan, which hopefully helped shed some light on the topic for any of you out there who are considering a similar move. Hope you found some value in the conversations. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa, and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company, and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.